Good morning, Rabbi Isai. A new week, a new parsha. We did last week parshas Shekolim, and we learnt the Haftorah in detail. And I think that by the time we got to the Haftorah, we knew a little bit more what the story was. Now we're coming on to the next parsha. This Shabbos is Havsoka. So this Shabbos there isn't a special Shabbos coming up. Parshas Truma. It's just regular Parshas Truma. But the following week will be Parshas Zochar. Why Parshas Zochar? Because Parshas Zochar is always the Shabbos immediately before Purim. Purim is in the following week, and Purim is the destruction or the threat that Haman had against Klal Yisrael to destroy Klal Yisrael, and that we were saved. And the same thing happened in the Midbar with Amalek, and obviously we know Haman was a descendant of Amalek. Interesting, the Medrash tells us about Amalek as follows. It says, Esav hated Yaakov. Esav hated Yaakov because he thought that the Bechorah was stolen from him, although he sold it as a legitimate sale. He held that the Bechorah was stolen from him, and then when Yaakov got the Brochos, that the Brochos was stolen from him, and his whole Hatzlocha in Olam Hazeh had been stolen from him by Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, he wanted to kill, and he said, Yikruvu Yimei Evel Ovi, my father dies, V'Hargos Yaakov Ochi, I'm going to kill Yaakov. And one way or another, it never worked out. Even when he marched against Yaakov with 400 men, with the intention of destroying Yaakov, but when it actually happened, somehow they met, and he didn't kill him, and Esau went throughout his life, and he never managed to kill Yaakov Avinu. When Esav died, he had a choice. He could have spoken to his son Eliphaz, or he could have spoken to his son Amalek. The Yalkut Chukas says that he felt that Eliphaz wasn't strong enough to destroy Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because Eliphaz had bris milah. Eliphaz had bris milah at Shmoni Yomim, because he lived in the house of Yaakov Avinu, of Yitzchok, sorry. Yitzchok was still alive when Eliphaz was born, and therefore Eliphaz had bris milah, and he grew up in the house of Yitzchok. And therefore, from the point of view of the sin of Yaakov, Esau felt that Eliphaz wasn't up to the job. He was maybe too soft. He wasn't tough enough for the job. So Esau, before he died, spoke to his grandson, Eliphaz's son, Amalek. And he said to him, I need you to carry on the battle. You need to find an opportunity to destroy Yaakov and his family and his descendants. You need to wipe them out. And in fact, I think it's very, very similar to the Palestinians today. Right? They are brought up in their mother's milk to know that the Jews have stolen their land. The Jews are, that Israel's not allowed to exist, and that it's a mitzvah to kill every Jew in the world wherever you can, globalize the intifada, and cause as much sorrow as possible. That's what they're brought up with right from the beginning. And Amalek had that task from Esau, his grandfather. And Amalek was waiting for an opportunity. When Amalek saw that Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, and the Mitzrayim were enslaving Klal Yisrael, and Kol Abena Yiloit Hayo'ira Tashlichuhu, and it said there that no slave ever escaped from Mitzrayim. It says an Eved was never able to escape from Mitzrayim. He thought his job was being done for him by Paroi. So he held on and he waited. It says Amalek lived a few hundred years. Amalek was alive when Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim. And Amalek was alive when the Bnei Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, 210 years later. Yeah. So therefore, Amalek lived a long time, and all that time he was biding and waiting for the opportunity that Esav had made the promise to try and destroy Yaakov. And eventually, through the Nisim and Niflos that occurred, Yaakov Avinu escapes from Mitzrayim. And therefore, at the first opportunity, when Yaakov Avinu had escaped from Mitzrayim, Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael. Right? Within a few days of leaving Mitzrayim, Amalek had already attacked Klal Yisrael. They were in the Midbar. He felt that they were weak, they were vulnerable, and therefore he was carrying out the mission that had been given to him by his grandfather Esav. And that's what we're going to be commemorating when we line Zocha Es Asher Asolach Amalek. I'm away for the rest of the week in Mi'atz Hashem. You're going to have a very special new new person who's going to say the halacha every day, he'll continue the inyanim of Parshas Zochar.
Yeah.
This is Torahway, Northwest London, Sunday, Chof Ches Shvat, the 15th of February.
Yes.
The Inyan, Dain Yechiel, Feiner Shlita. Loaning, is that?
That's correct.
Wow. Okay, Choshe Mishpat and Yoredea, loaning eggs. That's the subject.
Yeah.
Fine, okay. And Elil Nishmas, Reb Chaim Moshe Eliezer ben Rabbi Yehoshua Zichron Levrocha, and all our Shiurim are Elil Nishmas, our founder and our organizer, Yosef Dov, Yadudi Zichron Levrocha, Yosef Dov ben Reb Shuvah Michal Tzvi Zichron Levrocha.
When I came into shul this morning, I saw that the topic I'm speaking on, it says topical theme. That was not the title which I had sent to the organizer. He must have missed my, part of my email. It reminded me of the story, famous story of Rishol Salanta. Rishol Salanta, he was, had misnagged him when he said a drasha in Vilna. He put his, the minute was, he used to put the Marim Akrimis on the wall, and somebody came and pulled down one, some lets, pulled down the Marim Akrimis, and he put a different set. And Kiyodua, Rishol Salanta, he saw the new Marim Akrimis, and he said his drasha according to the new Marim Akrimis. So this is what happened here. I didn't know. So I'm speaking on topical theme. The topic is, though, loaning eggs. Not borrowing eggs, loaning eggs. And I saw the eyebrows of Rabbi Yankel raised. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. The reason is that, first of all, to speak Michal about eggs. Maisa Shehoyo, I knew about the Maisa for years about with Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. And recently I saw it printed about the Chazon Ish. The probability is that it happened with both. Somebody came with an egg to ask a shayla from the Pesach Hador, and the Meshamshim Bakodesh, the Gavoyim, they saw somebody coming with an egg. You were taking the precious time of the Pesach Hador with a shayla which lechayra looks trivial on kashrus of an egg, a little bit of blood, yeah. No? So Moshe or Chazon Ish or both, he said to the Gaboim, says, Din Pruta Kedin Meir, if it's a Shaila in Halacha, there's no way I'm asking that you should push away the Shaila, bring me the Shaila, and I'll address it like any other Shaila. There's no difference between the two Shailas. So that is our matzav today. The Shaila, which we're speaking about eggs, as trivial as it may seem, we'll see Mitz Hashem during the course of this year, it's a lot less trivial than it seems. And loaning is also the correct terminology. Why? What is the difference between borrowing and loaning? Lashon HaKodesh is a much richer language when it comes to diuk on... Start again. Lashon HaKodesh is a much richer language than English, no disrespect to the English language. And there are differentiations in Lashon HaKodesh which we don't have in English. If your neighbor knocks on your door and asks to loan some eggs, so they'll get the face which we saw from the. Are you sure? It sounds nothing, but what is the difference between a loan, a halvor, and a hashalom, and borrowing? Kiyodua, milva lohitzon itno. Chazal say, if you have somebody gives you a loan, somebody lends you money, you don't. If he sends you, gives you £100 in 5 £20 notes with pictures of Her Majesty, Her Late Majesty the Queen, or Majesty the Late Queen, and you want to return when you pay back with 2 £50 notes, there's absolutely nothing wrong, perfectly in order, and you certainly don't need to return the original shtaris which you were given, because milva lohitzon, you know, the money is yours to do what you want with it. You can buy arba minim, it'll be lechem lechol davar. You can use it to be mekadesh in isha. No problem at all. That is the nature of halvor. Milva loitzo nitna. But milva comes also with some certain halachas. There's hilchos ribis. If I lend you money and you return to me more than I lent you, that is ribis. On the other hand, when hashel, if I lend you hashel esaporo, if I lend you my cow, Daisy she's called, I don't expect you to give me any different cow back. I want back my Daisy. That is the nature of Hashon, Matt, you've got Schus Ishtamshus in it, you've got a lot more obligations maybe than somebody else. You're chai for everything except for Mesav Machas Melocha. There's also Ptur Zeis Akosav, Yim Baal Avimah, lots of different halachas. But when you borrow eggs, the word borrowing is not technically correct, because don't think the person who lends you eggs will be happy to see those same eggs either reconstituted or in the same box a month later. They're probably already long past the expiry date. He doesn't want that. He gives you the eggs like he gives you the money. Do with it what you want. Make blinches, latkes, whatever you want. It's yours. A scrambled egg, omelette. I don't want those eggs back. I want the equivalent back. Now, if it's a loan, if when I give you eggs, it's considered a loan, then we have to apply all the halachas of ribis, which means if I gave you 5 eggs and you give me back 6 eggs, that's ribis. You're not allowed to do that. Whereas, if I lend you my car, and I'm using car, it's a very good example for, we'll be able to see both sides of the story. I send you a car and it's got the tank of petrol, fuel is half full. And I lend you the car and you have it for a week, you're allowed to use it, and you return it with a full tank. So like this, when I lend you my car, if you give me a box of chocolates in appreciation, there's no shaila whatsoever of ribis, because it's not a loan. I lent you my car, you have the schus to use the car. The reason why I chose a car as a marshal for that is because there is one small technical problem which I'm a supik about. If I lend you a car and inside it there's a half a tank of fuel and you decide, look, you're going to be large, you give me back the car with a full tank of fuel. There you may be goyvel on a shiloh ribis, because it's true that the car you can return to me as it is, you can wash it, you can give me a box of chocolates, but if you return the tank of fuel fuller than you got it, there may be a shiloh ribis in, because minastam, I didn't give you the tank of fuel as a present. I gave it to you as some kind of loan. So if I loaned you a tank which had in it 6 gallons of petrol, you return it with 10 gallons, it may be a shiloh of ribis on the extra thing.
I intended that you should use that half tank.
Yeah, but what you get you, to use it as what? As a shoyl?
What?
As a shoyl?
You're going to use it up the same way that you're going to cook the egg.
You're
not going to return the same petrol that was in the tank.
Correct. But it's not alone.
Well,
I say the car is, I'm mushing you, like a cow.
Yeah.
But the tank, the petrol in the tank may be a loan. I lent you, I gave you a car with 5 gallons in, you give me back with 10 gallons, you've given me back more than I gave you. That may be a loan. You could quetch that it's not a loan, but I'm saying that that may be a shiloh, something to be aware of.
If the person lending it is not makrid, of course, for example, you don't know when you're going to be asked on a Tuesday to lend it, whether you've got 3/4 of a tank or half a tank. You're lending the car and whatever the petrol is in there.
So when you say he's not makrid, that means you're saying he's moichel.
He didn't deliberately siphon off a quarter of the tanks to be exactly on the half.
Nothing deliberate or not deliberate. If I give you a box of eggs and I say return, and I don't know if there's room for 12 eggs in the box, we'll speak in imperial measurements, right? And I didn't know if there was 10 or 8 or everything, then you decide to give me back a full box. Okay, that is.
I understand it's different, but. Because you're lending the eggs.
Here, so the difference between halvah or hashara, what?
You're lending the car, and incidentally, it's got half a tank.
So that's what I'm super about. Is that called one transaction or two separate transactions? The car and the petrol.
It's the other way around. If I give a car with half a tank of petrol, and there's no petrol in it, and it's full of dry suddenly run out of petrol, would I be annoyed with a man?
That's not ribis.
It's not ribis, but is it a neighbour?
Oh, well, you'd be annoyed.
I lend somebody called half a tank of petrol.
Yeah.
And he gives it back with no petrol at all.
So he may be a ganav on that half.
Am I ganav?
Maybe.
No, you gave the petrol.
It's the opposite of ribis. It's the opposite of ribis.
Ganav and ribis, there's a lot of.
Yeah, what I mean.
We'll come to it. And like this.
You brought him to use it.
I use half a tank of petrol.
Okay, let's apply this basic introduction to our subject matter, loaning eggs. Reuven and Shimon are neighbors, and Reuven asks Shimon, can he loan me half a dozen eggs? Why not? With pleasure. A week later, Reuven returns the eggs, But inside the box, which he had 6 eggs, there's only 5 eggs. So the Shimon curiosity or not, he says to him, 1 minute, I lent you 6. Why are you giving me back only 5? He answers, why do you need back 5? Because in one of the eggs, he found...
A blitz drop, right.
That he found it, and therefore, so like this. Two shailas there, then... Right, if he would, is he Reuven Mechuyev to give back 6? Because he took 6 eggs, he's giving back 6 eggs. Or do we say, no, he only got 5. One of them was a counterfeit. It was an egg which he borrowed for the purpose of using. It wasn't a usable egg, it wasn't an edible egg. So is he allowed to give back, is he Mechuyev to give back 6? Or can he say, no, it's a mum. I was a mekach tos on that. 6 to 1, I only have to return to you 5. Based on that shaila, if he only has to return him 5, and he decides he's giving back 6, what's the problem?
Ribbis.
He's giving back more than he got. He got 5, plus a fake egg, and he's giving back 6 good eggs. So maybe the shaila of ribbis.
And if he gives him back 5, there might be a blitz drop among them as well.
True. It's a very good point. We'll see if that goes into the equation. You're right.
He doesn't know if the 6 eggs...
If he gives back 6 eggs, which are becheskas kosher, and he got, lemaisa, he got 6 minus 1.
So one of 6 eggs, everyone has a blitz drop. Will not have to pay back?
You'll tell me at the end of the year. That's what we're going to discuss today. We'll come to it at the end because it's a side issue, but it's a main issue as well. Today's eggs are safna da'ara, which means that not even if you find blood in it, it's not proper blood. So that is going to make a very big difference in the halacha lemaisa. Let's have a look. We'll see what the Shulchan Aruch has to say about it. We have to be medayik the loshon here because there's very, very dakistik at nafkaminas, but big. In Reish Lamed Beis Halacha Yud Aleph, Hamoicha Behema, 2 things. Hamoicha, he sells. It's not a halva like with in our shayla. He's moich. He sells a behema lechaver for the purpose of tvicha shchita. He wants to use it for the meat. Ver nimtas trefa, and we know that the trefa he found was for sure there ready at the time when he purchased this behema. What's the halacha? The halacha is have a mekach tos. I bought a behemoth to shecht it, to make meat from it, and the behemoth is trefa. It's a mekach tos, v'tzorich lehachzir hadomim. You have to give back the money, mekach tos, like any mekach tos, everything is reversed. Now, what happens in halacha yutes, in the same rishtam base? Hamecha beitzim, this is the beitzim of our Shaila today, but again, a very big difference. Hamoicha beitzim, he didn't lend, he sold beitzim lechaveroi. Venimtu muzoris, that's because that means blood, it's already started the process of producing a chicken, and you're not allowed to, einam ruim lechil, you're not allowed to eat it, also, dam. Have a mekach tos, just like we saw in with the behemoth, the trefa. Umachse esadom, he gives back the money. This is where he purchased it. V'achshav, listen to this loshen. Says the mechaber, v'achshav loinohu kein. The meaning today, if you buy eggs and it turns out that it's muzores, loinohu kein, uminheg mevachel halacha. Major loshen here, but that's what the mechaber says. The minhag will lechaira and nullify and cancel what the halacha would have dictated. It's not like the pshat in that is not like it seems at first at a glance, but it's very different than that. I said at the end of the halacha shiur, I say every day in Chishim Mishpat, sometimes in Parashat Hashavua or something, once or twice a week, I say in Shmiras Haloshin. So one smart cookie said to me, after he learned this halacha, he says, look, it's true that it's also al pidin, speak Loshin Hara, but the minig is people do speak. So maybe the minig is revatal the halacha. But that's not pshat in minhag mevatel halacha. We're going to see in a minute in more detail, but minhag mevatel halacha means the way people do this type of transaction defines the consequential halacha. If, in other words, the halacha is built on a certain metzias, and that metzias changes, It's not that halacha changes. Because the metzias changes, it comes out a different, all the shikulim of the halacha can come out different, and that's why the halacha could come out different. We're not being without any halachas, chas v'shalom. So like this, let's go to our shayla now. Based on this halacha of hamoicha beitzim, there's, to be mitzamtzim a bit, but there's like this. Reb Shmuel Vosner in Shevet Halevi, he says on this particular piece of Shulchan Aruch that the din, that if the sale is cancelled, is when somebody purchased eggs and he already paid for them. If he already paid for them, the money is gone from the koiner to the mecha, then in such a circumstance we say that the mecha, even though mitzad hadin, it should be bottle, and he would be able to reverse the transaction. The minig is that the koiner is mechel, so to speak, and he cannot return, he is obligated to return the egg. Sorry, that's the minig. But before the minig, the etzem halacha is that the sale is chayza, and then it comes out, if we take this in halva, the same thing, if we make our deduction in halva, if a person that borrowed eggs, and it comes out, one of the eggs he borrowed was of the nature which would have been going to Mekhtos, where it would be a Kenyan. So that, Kielu, he never received it. So then he does not have to give back the sixth egg. And Rav Ozan says, Beferish, that not only that, if he does give it back, he'll be over on Ribis. Rav Eliashiv says something similar. He differentiates between, in the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch was Hamoicha Beitzim. And Rav Eliashiv says, it's brought by Yitzchak Silberstein in Nida, I think it is, if I'm not mistaken, that he says that dafka if you sold the egg, but if you lent the egg, you can't apply this thing of saying that the cancellation of the thing, if you borrowed an egg which was not a good egg, then You don't reverse the action, and he can't give it back. If he gives it back, it's going to be ribis. Why? Because he says that with mechira he says a svara. When you sell something and you buy something, it's shaykh there mechila. Once you've received the money, shaykh mechila. Also, if you know that you're selling something, you sold something alma, not something specific. So then you can say that the mechira is cancelled on an egg which is not thing, because there was never a salt. And the minig on that can be, if with mechira, the minig on that can be that you can be mekayim the thing, because like you said before, when you borrow eggs, you're borrowing whole eggs in the shell without knowing what it is. Somebody said once, asked a shayli, says that if you buy a lottery ticket, and you say to the person who's selling it, I'll pay you next week. Is that okay with you? So you have no problem. He bought three lottery tickets, 10 shekel each one, and guess what happened? He didn't. One more guess. He did not win anything. So he came back to the seller. He says, look, I bought lottery tickets, I'm an us to win. I don't have to pay you. Now, obviously, that's humorous to that be. That says it. If a person says, in a way, you could say like this, inherent in this opinion, when you purchase the eggs, was a risk factor. But you knew that 5% of the eggs which are being purchased could be beitzim muzoreis with blood in, and therefore that was a risk which you took. So that's the shaila. Did he or did he not take this risk? So with halva, when you sell like it on a commercial basis, that's what Rav Eliashiv's chiluk is. If you sell eggs on a commercial basis, so you can say on a commercial basis, these eggs were saleable items when they were in their shells, and I could have sold it to somebody else. Could have sold the thing. Therefore, the sale mi'ika hadin is it. We use the minig, even though the sale mi'ika hadin could have been cancelled because it's like Mrs. Trefer. So the minig is that we do not cancel the sale. We apply the sale, and he has to pay what he has to pay, or according to Rav Ozner, if he already paid, we don't reverse the sale because that was the nature of the transaction. You bought an egg which had in it a small risk, and that was the nature of the purchase. That you can say with a purchase, but with a loan, I'm not making any business with you. You're lending me an egg. It's not shaykh mechila. You lent me eggs. Loan me eggs, and the egg has got inside it a blue stop. So that you didn't know. It's like if you loan me $600, $100 bills, and one of them is counterfeit. What did you lend me?
$500.
The other one you sent me is a nice picture of George Washington. It's a very good copy, but it's not the real thing. You didn't lend me that money. So if you lent me eggs, and you know that it's not done on a commercial basis, done as neighbors, the eggs you gave them for me to use, and they should be usable. If they're not usable, then I'm not mechuyev to return it. So it'll come up from this, the chur lehalacha, that if you borrow eggs and you find in it blood, and the blood is of a nature that it acids the egg, which we'll see in a minute that's not mamish the case, then in such a case you do not need to return. Not only you do not need to return, you may not return that sixth egg.
Why can't you apply the same rule to a loan as to a sale?
Because a sale goes with the rules of the commercial. What's the minhag? We'll see. That is the minhag. The minhag is, you're right, according to the ikadin, so the sale should be cancelled. But the minhag is because it's nahug to sell eggs. And on a commercial basis, without knowing what's in it, everything. So the minig is that the koina is moichel on his right to get his money back. Couldn't have wasn't only if he paid, but if he hadn't paid, so we could cancel the sale. But if he had paid, why are we noyeg to allow him to cancel this sale? Why are we noyeg not to cancel the sale? Because he's moichel. You can only be Meichel, that's the Wozenstein. You can only be Meichel.
I'm going to a shop and say, I'm only paying for these eggs. After I've opened them, they're good. If I go to a shop and say, I want six eggs, but they've got blood in it, I'm only paying for five.
Just let me know the name of the shop.
I'm
saying, let me know the name of the shop, because we'll see later. The Pesach Choshen, he says that today's Metzias is that everything is sold with their small risk factor. And that's going to make a very big difference. Because if you purchased it,
Sorry, going back to your example of the counterfeit note.
Counterfeit notes, right?
In the Mechira, where Reuven sold something to Shimon, and Shimon paid $500, and one of the $100 bills was
counterfeit. And he knows for sure that it came from him.
Pardon?
He knows for sure
it came from him. It was one of those five, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you saying that because it's a Mechira, therefore the sale stands?
No.
It's different from
so exactly that there would be exactly the same mechir and halva. The mechir doesn't stand on this mechir could stand, but you haven't paid me for it. You've shortchanged me. You gave me only five instead of 600.
Your argument would be that he knows that there are counterfeit notes circulating.
No, that we don't say.
And maybe one of them might be.
No, we don't say. It's true we know that there's a very small percentage of counterfeits, but you can't say that those are the rules of commerce, that when you buy something. When you sell something, you might get a counterfeit note. Check them. That's why if you go into any big store today, they check each note. Why do they check it? Because they're not muchen to accept counterfeit notes.
Yeah. So. Masha Inkin, if you borrow eggs, and one of them is counterfeit.
Masha Inkin, when you borrow eggs,
and one of them is counterfeit.
Right.
You're going to say
so
what?
If we say that...
That he accepted that?
No, he doesn't accept that. That if he knows vada, it's not kosher, the egg. It's vada a problem, it's vada also, then he did not accept the egg. Didn't accept it. It's counterfeit. When he purchases, there we've got a svara to be mechalek. And say the minig is not to cancel the transaction. Because... Tov. Bekitzur, what we do have to establish is that even when you borrow an egg, you're borrowing an egg which had, it's true that you only borrowed it almanos to use it. But the egg, according to what we're saying before, the egg still has some value. So who said you don't have to pay back that value? That's something which we won't have time to be mine and say, but that's also a shaila when you borrowed something. True. Yeah, but the egg, called the money, it wasn't opened. It did have a value. So why shouldn't I pay you at least the value of, let's say, 95% of the eggs? Should I pay you that's what you borrowed? Give me back my value. There's a shot on that, and that we'll see how that works. Now, we're talking about the minig not to be mevatel the mekach. The two ways of learning pshat. Is there a kavana that a minig has been made that when a person buys something, the person buys something even ala sofik, that's the new minig, and therefore the halacha changed? Or do we say that, no, the minig is that you are meichel, the meichel, if he sold you something which is not what you wanted it to be exactly, the minig is your meichel. And the nafka minig will be, if the koiner doesn't know that he bought something which is defective, so he doesn't have any das or to cancel it and to be meichel. He doesn't have the das, therefore it would come out that the mechira would stand. If he does, to be meichel, you have to know. And the same with halva, you can only be meichel something. It's not yours to be meichel. When you lend me something, what do you mean I'm meichel? Meichel that I'm not going to give it back to you. You will want us to be meichel. You can't be meichel on my cheshbon. No, it won't work with mechila. So the mashmaos of what it's written Shevet Halevi from Shmuel Vozna, and he says that Kolzman who didn't pay, he still can reverse the transaction. And that would be then also with the halvor. So it's Vaistos that he learned, Taka the Minig is, to be Meichel. Pshat is, what Pshat to be Meichel? Only if you paid. Where it's Shaykh Mechila. The same with what Rabbi Yashiv says. Because something which is not of a commercial nature, you can talk about mechila. That is how the nature, the transaction is defined by what is the minig. But if it's so, the shaila is what happens since we said you could have sold this egg ala sofik. Why don't we say when I lent the egg that it's also has a value? That's what we are, which we ask. Well, give just very briefly. There's a nesivus. Says somebody who kills the behemoth of his friend. He kills his behemoth, the behemoth of his friend. What does he have to do? He has to pay for it. But what happened? They were bodik the behemoth which he killed, and they saw that the behemoth was trefa. Not only was trefa today, but they saw that it had the simonim that it was trefa for many days. So what does it come out? He killed a behemoth which was trefa. So it says in the Nesivus, since he didn't do any damage befoil to the person who sold the behemoth, he should pay him maybe the value of nevela, but he didn't do him any damage because the behemoth anyway was trefa. You don't say that the vendor, he had the option to sell this behemoth when before it was shechted and we didn't know its matzav, because mi'ikar din, the din is, if you find it's trefa, ikar din, the mekach is cancelled. Mimela, the horeg, the person who killed the behemoth, he wasn't mafsit him anything. That's the shitas hanasivus, you kill somebody's behemoth, you're not, and it turns out to be trefa, you're not obligated to pay more than the minimum, but not the Imre Bina, in Hilchos Dayanim, he's chaylik, and he says that since you could have sold this behema as a saleable item before you knew that it was trefa, so therefore he's killed, he's taken away from him the option of selling it, and there's.
So how does that help? Because once the purchaser found out that the behema was trefa, then it would be chayzer mekach.
Well, we don't know. So maybe he would have sold it to a goy. Maybe he would have sold it to a goy. It's a saleable item. There is a price for. You know what? Let's jump to what the Piske Choshen says today. When you buy animals, I'm not talking when you walk into Frohwines or Gross, whatever it's called, and buy a piece of meat. You buy animals. You buy 10 heads, and you know that there's a percentage of. Which I think so. People have it there. Usually the butchers, they have an arrangement that if they found something is found trafe, so they sell it at 3/4 of the price to a goy. There's all sorts of things, but it's a saleable item. That's why I said the Piske Choshen Tainus in Hilchos Einor that today's mitzias has changed and that people do buy it on a suffix. So mainly that halacha they say might not apply. That's a very important nakuda. I think we'll cut from that. Bismaneinu, because it's become the practice to sell things with that element of Safik in it. Therefore, the sale will stay valid, shut the sale stay valid. The minhag has become to sell items which are which have in it a small risk, and that reduces the value somewhat. But we don't care what happens afterwards, because that's how it works. And that's what we'll have to apply also to the eggs. All the pasukim speak about it, but the Minhag Chassid talk, and then he's very marich on it to the Rav Shtembuch, Rav Shtembuch, Shlita, that people today, they buy eggs in a way that are not clear if they will or won't be a thing. But more than that, we know that eggs today are produced. Well, the blood which you see on the eggs, we call it blood, but lemaisa, the blood which is osa is something which could be gorim to I'm not going to give a biology lesson, but it would be gorim to it would be gorim to bring another chicken. But what you find in the blood is anything. Therefore, the blood, he says, Shembuch, he says, it might not be gods, unlike you've got chazaka, it's everything safna dara. More than that, says your Shtembuch, that if you find a bit of blood in the egg, the emes is you could go to a rav and find out if it is, it isn't thing. The reason why you don't go, because you can't be bothered. So the leiva, the person who borrowed the eggs, can't be frum on the cheshbon lecher, can't be frum on the cheshbon of the person who lent him the egg and say, look, you would never have used this egg yourself, so why should I pay you? That's not your business. The possum, some say, could have even boiled the egg, could have done other things, could have given it to his cat, to his dog, I don't know what. But in any case, the halacha lemaisa, according to these poskim, what the psak we saw from Rav Ozna and Rav Eliashiv was talking about, where you knew the egg was vadai osur. Our eggs today are not vadai osur. The svadim, michal, they take away that little piece of blood and they use the rest of the egg. We don't do it. It's like it's a hiddur of based on the goyim. But lemaisa, the egg could be is kosher. There's lots of other reasons to be matir. So I just wanted to be Messiah, because it's getting late, with an unbelievable catch which I found in the Lahiris Nosson Reb Nosson Gishtetma. He goes into a shaila. What happens if you borrow from your neighbor, not eggs, apples, potatoes? Is it possible to give back the exact amount? An egg, you know, it's medium, it's large, it's small. If I borrowed medium and I give back large, it's rubis. I give back small, it's gezel. But with potatoes and eggs, I borrowed 6 potatoes. Is it shaykh to give back the exact quantity? It's not shaykh. So why isn't it a shaylo rubis? So he brings an avnei nezer, which is a gevaldige catch, in choshim mishpot, says like this, avnei nezer, the sochachover. Somebody borrowed money. Borrowed £10. And his memory is not so sharp. He doesn't remember, did I or did I not return? So he calls up the person who lent him the money. He says, did I ever return you the money? Tell you the truth. I also don't remember. So what does he do now? If he doesn't pay him, chashash gezel. If he does pay him, and he already had paid him in the past, so he borrowed £10, and he's returning £20. Ribis. So what do you do? He's in a catch 22 situation. I'm not talking about Moitzi. He won't say there that the man's got no papers. He will pay me, he won't pay me. You're right. Moitzi can't talk. He's got.
He doesn't remember.
Pay him on tonight.
Mechila what?
Pay him on tonight.
Okay. So there are solutions like pay him. Tonight, what's the tonight? What? To Matana.
If I owe you money, then
you can always do that. Yeah, I give you to Matana. The Avnei Nezer says a very, very interesting svara, which is something which I wouldn't have believed it until I saw it. He says like this. The issue of ribis is to pay back somebody. You give somebody a hatova, you give him a benefit, because it's schar hamtona samoy, so agarnatim loshanam thing. I'm paying you because you had to wait to get back your money. That's ribis. I'm paying you for the toy giving, and you lent me the money. When I pay you back money here, an extra £10, I'm not paying it to give you anything. I'm paying it because I don't want to be nichshal in gezel. So he says that where the purpose of returning more things, you don't know it's more, sofik returning more, is because you don't want to be nichshal gezel. It's not in my Torah to be mehane, the malva, and give him a schar, hamtonas mois. He says there, that's not ribis. It's a very, very big chiddush that. But that's what he says, Avnezer. So if that's the case, we can do that also with the Chorov. Avnezer, the person who's got Sufik, Vosmer, Yashem, so many different days. If you're returning six eggs when you've got only five and he's got a Sufik of its ribis, so you can say, no, I'm not doing ribis. I'm giving the extra egg. Al atzad that the halacha is that I have to give you back six, not five. And I don't want to be nichshel and gezel. It's nothing to do with paying you hamtonas mois. If that's the case, then we can exempt him from the avera of ribis.